Welcome to Central Line, Leadership in Healthcare, the show that shares stories, experiences, and advice from notable and innovative leaders in healthcare. Leading in healthcare is incredibly challenging. So if you are looking to learn firsthand from nurses, physicians, administrators, and other healthcare professionals in leadership and management roles, this is the podcast for you. Hosted by Leah Wutchik, leadership development expert, executive coach, healthcare professional, and president and co-founder of Tall Trees Leadership. We talk with today's successful healthcare leaders on how they get to where they are, lessons learned along the way, and what it takes to thrive as a successful leader in healthcare. Let's get started with your host, Leah Wutchik.
Dave Bennett is the CEO of PCARE. His visionary approach to patient engagement, digital and mobile technologies, and IT integration ensures continuous innovation of the number one KLAS-ranked PCARE platform and a company culture dedicated to delighting customers. Prior to joining PCARE, Dave served in a variety of executive roles at ViMed, Get Well Network, and StayWell. Dave holds a CISM certificate from ISACA and is an active member of the Healthcare Information and Management Systems Society, the American Health Information Management Association, the Information Systems Audit and Control Association, and the American College of Healthcare Executives. PCARE's interactive patient experience solution helps healthcare providers engage, educate, and entertain patients across the care continuum. The PCARE Open Platform integrates with existing EHR, EMR systems, patient portals, and mobile health applications to connect patients, families, and caregivers. PCARE is the leading partner of healthcare organizations to improve care quality, patient outcomes, and financial performance. Hello, Dave. Thanks for being here.
Great. Thanks for having me. Look forward to speaking with you today.
Yeah, I am as well. And maybe to get us started, I would love to hear a little bit about your path into healthcare because it's somewhat unusual.
Yeah, thanks. I've been actually working in healthcare probably close to 40 years now. So I've worked in a number of roles, both at publicly traded companies, technology-based companies, as well as I actually had a stint at a large academic medical center for several years. So I've got a lot of exposure both from the technology side as a vendor, as well as actually an end user in a large academic medical center where there's a large clinical environment with lots of patients as well. But I've been doing this for quite some time. I've got a specific passion around it since I've also been engaged with taking care of relatives and others that have also had illnesses where technology's played some role or another in helping them along as well.
Mm-hmm. And what was the inspiration for moving into healthcare?
You know, I started my career in the Army, actually, but I had grown up around healthcare. My grandfather had been a doctor, my mother had been a nurse, and I always felt like I wanted to get back in a place where I could actually do good and help people. And healthcare seemed like a really great career where you got to interact with people. And frankly, the goal is to help people and do good at the end of the day.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had a long family history of being in healthcare. And I'm curious, I would imagine it was a fairly big jump in some ways from the military to healthcare. How did you manage that transition?
Actually, it was a big change, but you know, there's a lot that both organizations have in common. And the single biggest one is, you know, healthcare is a team sport, really, frankly. It's a lot of teamwork with a lot of individuals with a lot of specialty that are delivering unique skill sets or bring unique skill sets to the table, very disciplined and very organized. So lots of that is in common. And, you know, I do think most people that, you know, go to the military, no matter what branch they're going to, is they're doing it, one, I think, out of a sense of patriotism. And they're also doing it because they feel like they're doing something good, you know, for the country. And I guess the public in general, if you think about their involved in all kinds of things from hurricane relief to going overseas, feeding the people, or in some cases, obviously, you know, there's been a number of conflicts. And I do think that overall Americans, we really are trying to do our best and trying to make the world a better place. So I think there's a lot in common between healthcare professionals in the sense that we're trying to do good. We're trying to make the world a better place in many regards. So there's a lot of similarities in just the overall mission and clearly with the discipline and the focus and the specialization as well. So I think there's a lot more in common than most people really think. And if you kind of sit back and look at it through those lenses, I think you go, yeah, you know, there is an awful lot in common for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that comment you made about that desire to make a difference and to contribute in some way probably crosses a lot of different industries, but particularly in healthcare, and definitely I can hear it in the military as well. And so I'm curious, what do you do now? Can you explain to everyone kind of what your role is?
Sure. Yeah, I'm the president and CEO of a company called PCare. So PCare is an interactive, has a software company that has a solution that focuses on interactive patient care, so which is really a software solution that delivers engagement, patient engagement at the bedside in a hospital. So that's what I do right now, running that business. And I'm fortunate because I get to work with a lot of great people, both at PCare, and it also brings me in touch and allows me to engage with lots of folks at all kinds of large and small institutions, whether or not they're health delivery networks or standalone community hospitals. It allows me to work with a large number of constituents, from clinical folks to patient engagement, to nurses, to physicians, to chief operating officers, to others at these large organizations, and focus on helping them improve really their patient engagement programs and processes.
Okay, so it's been about 15 years since I've been at the bedside, and I know some of our listeners are no longer or are not at the bedside either. So when you say software for patient engagement at the bedside, what does that look like? What does it do?
Great, that's a good question. So the way that the technology's evolved an awful lot over this particular interactive patient care solution set, the way that it interacts with patients right now is it actually runs on a smart TV in the patient's room. So what the solution really does is it focuses on creating an engagement platform that leverages the TV as well as other devices in the patient's room. So through digital interaction. So for example, obviously we could do the traditional things like bring TV and entertainment, movies on demand, that sort of stuff. But we also have the ability to create highly personalized encounters with patients while they're in the, and their family members or health caregivers, whoever may be in the room with them, that are very specific for why they're in the hospital. With that being said, it might be something along the lines like you're in for a hip replacement, and I might want to send you some video content while you're there that prepare you for being discharged from the hospital, or better educate you around your condition and things that you could do to help improve your outcomes and recovery while you're in the hospital as well as at home. So we could do things like that from an educational standpoint and then document that in the EMR so that there's a record of it. We can also do other things, automate some of the communication. So traditionally, somebody might press a call nurse button and ask the nurse, hey, can my room's dirty? Could I have somebody come down and clean it? But we can actually automate the workflows so that they don't have to bother the nurse, and it could go directly to housekeeping or environmental services or other people within the organization. So a nurse can really focus on clinical content or clinical care and not really become a messenger for directing other communications that are directly related to clinical care to the appropriate folks within an organization. So things like that. And then what's happened over the past couple of years with the pandemic, we've even begun to put video cameras in patients' rooms that now allow both the clinical staff to round or interact directly with the patient, but they can also be used at the time of discharge so that you can include other family members or other extended caregivers as part of the discharge process. So they could be there with the nurse or the doctors are explaining everything that the patient's going to be responsible for and what they need to know as far as recovery at home is concerned. So lots of digital interactions there have grown tremendously with this kind of technology and the evolution of it in a number of different ways that we can do things interacting directly with the patient through this digital types of technology that allow a nurse and others to focus on things that are more valuable at the end of the day, but can remove some of the ancillary non-clinical kind of functions and such, while improving the overall engagement and experience that a patient has while they're in the hospital.
It sounds fascinating. And I would imagine, like pretty much everything in technology, the possibilities are endless as to what could be coming down the road with that. And I think what I'm hearing is that the main focus is not only to increase the patient engagement, but also family engagement, and also to alleviate some of those pressures off of the clinical staff in areas that maybe are not necessarily the best use of their skills and their abilities. So I definitely see the different intentions and goals behind this. I think most people will understand the reason why for patient engagement. What I'm curious about is, what is your why for patient engagement?
I think it's very important to me. So let me kind of share a personal note with you and the audience here too. So patient engagement, I think, is critical to really achieving proper outcomes. You really want to engage people and make them a partner in the care and the outcomes. And patient engagement's a way to do that. I've been extremely fascinated in it and focused on it. As I mentioned, I had a father that was ill who really needed heavy engagement, needed to be given the tools and empowered to better take care of himself. And that didn't really happen. So it really started on this focus of, hey, how can we look at technology? Because I am a technologist. And then how can we better engage patients through the use of technology and better managing their health outcomes as well as their healthcare journey? And from a personal standpoint, you know, I started down that road, and like a lot of technologists, we're really great at leveraging technology, but often the way that we're leveraging it, and I think the way that we see it used being used to solve problems, probably isn't necessarily the best. And I point an example, as I said, from a personal standpoint, despite being in the patient engagement space here for the past several years, last year in last September of 2022, I kid people and tell them that I got a major promotion and I became the chief patient advocate officer for my wife. My wife was unfortunately diagnosed with metastatic ovarian cancer. Mm. And it's amazing how your perspective on things change. Years ago, decades ago, when I had an ill father, I had a set of perspectives that I tried to focus on better patient engagement and kind of creating solutions. And again, some 20 odd years later, now I'm dealing with a situation where my wife is a patient. So I begin relooking at things through the eyes of the patient and the family members and such. And it's become even more apparent to me that there is a need for better patient engagement. There's a lot of tools out there, but there are some other basics that we really need to focus on. And technology alone, while technology is a fantastic tool and resource, it takes more than technology alone in order to achieve successful engagement and outcomes. Healthcare is a very personal, high human touch proposition, and people expect a lot of high touch. It's a very human, compassionate kind of area. And technology doesn't always bring that to bear, needless to say. It can make things efficient. It can do lots of things in shortcuts. It can help us be more productive. But the one thing I think that's extremely important is that we not lose sight of the human elements as well as the importance of ingraining technology for improved outcomes and performance within the culture of an organization. So I think with that said, and with my personal journeys with working with or dealing with my wife, it's further kind of re-engaged me and further kind of provided an additional level of energy and thought around why patient engagement and patient interactions are so critical and even more important today. And I think, particularly from my personal experience over the last 9 months, I've learned an awful lot, and I've seen a lot of common things amongst a number of organizations. I will tell you, when I started this journey of looking for care for my wife and I traveled all across the United States in search of the best institutions and the best physicians to find the best quality of care with the highest outcomes for her. And I think during that process, I certainly saw a lot of technology in play. I saw a lot of success. I saw things that didn't work very well, but I also saw some common elements across all of them around patient engagement. And I think have some simple thoughts and walk away lessons from seeing things at a number of organizations as well. But it also provided an added inspiration of, hey, I need to step back and kind of look things again through the patient and family eyes, because they see things differently than us technologists that want to just create solutions and be kind of the shell answer guy. I've got an answer for that. Sometimes it's not always about the answer, and sometimes it's not always about the solution. It's a little bit more complex than that in many cases.
Yeah, I definitely hear that complexity that you're sharing with us. And I do want to say, I'm so sorry that you and your wife are going through this healthcare journey. And it sounds like she's a very lucky lady to have you as an advocate for her. And the fact that you are sharing about the importance of kind of taking a step back sometimes from the technology and putting yourself in the shoes of a family member or a patient, or, you know, seeing through their eyes, is so important. And what I wonder about then is that balance between the use of technology to make things more efficient, more productive, and all of those pieces with the human touch element. How do you know when you have the right balance?
So that's a fantastic question. So let me share with you some good news in there with things, particularly with my wife. In May 15th, was diagnosed with no evidence of disease. So she underwent surgery and chemotherapy. So we're in a great place right now. While there's no cure for ovarian cancer, she's in a fantastic place. And that's a real credit to the physicians and nurses and other people that immersed themselves in her care.
So that's wonderful.
So it's a phenomenal thing there. But I will tell you the one thing, a couple of points to kind of get to what you asked is phenomenal. There is a balance between technology and the human touch, and one has to think about it in some ways. And I'll give you some really interesting examples for sure. So as we know, digital technology has been vastly adopted all across our day-to-day lives, whether or not it's banking, whether or not it's us using Facebook Messenger to communicate with friends or family or others, right? To being able to make purchases online. So we have embraced that. In healthcare, like a lot of things, we're a little bit more conservative. So while we have embraced a lot of this technology, and the speed at which we have done that has remarkably improved during the COVID situation for a number of areas, the thing is, we can't lose sight on some of the technology and how it needs to be used, and how people are at the root of everything. And I'll give you some examples. So lots of people talk about, hey, I've got this great patient portal. You've got the ability to send a secure message to your doctor, your nurse, or others. While all of that, and there is a technology solution that can fundamentally work and provide all of that, it frankly means nothing to the patient or family members. At the end of the day, if no one answers those messages, you've created an expectation by the patient that if I send in something, there's going to be some sort of response. When that doesn't happen, you in essence create anxiety, you create a number of issues that complicate and actually do more harm, I think, than the solution is trying to solve. So for instance, as I mentioned, you know, technology and the use of it raises expectations. So when you tell family members and patients that there's a patient portal and you could send secure messages, patients and their family members assume, based upon the expectation that's been raised, that people are going to answer and respond back to those in a timely fashion. If they don't, that further can create levels of anxiety with the family members and patients. And it still goes back to the golden rule that healthcare, it still requires the intervention of a human being, right? Mm-hmm. And I use that as an example because, again, when you talk to organizations that have that technology and where you have those failures, part of the problem goes back to the culture. Has the culture of the organization been able to adopt the technology? Has the value proposition been great enough? Has it been embraced by the culture or the organization so that it becomes part of the normal operating processes within an organization? If you fail to do that, you will not have the outcomes that you hope to achieve. And in some cases, you'll end up creating more issues and create more anxiety and more problems than the solution solves. So as I would say, one of the things that I've learned and that I tell people, when you're going to adopt technology and you're going to create these digital solutions, you need to really evaluate and focus on not only what the solution is the value proposition large enough that the end users, both the patient, family, the nurses, the physicians, the other people, the accounting department within the organization, whomever, finance, billing, are all of those people on board, and have they embraced the technology and are they going to use it? If you don't have good buy-in across the organization, then that's probably not the right approach to go. If you don't have good buy-in, the other issue is the value proposition great enough that people see value? And if you don't focus on creating the value prop and selling people on the concept and getting people on board early on in the process, you're bound not to succeed in the long run. So again, technology is great. Building the value propositions, whether or not it's the interactive patient care experience within an organization, it still requires nurses, dietitians, and other folks to be on board with the technology, be responsive and understand how it's used, right? The same for other technologies. So you really need to focus on all of those elements in order to achieve success. Otherwise, you're going to have a great technology-based solution that really provides no value and, again, isn't being utilized and providing the outcomes that you hope to obtain. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, yeah. And it strikes me definitely, as you were saying, that if it isn't used in the way that it is intended with that human touch element, it actually has the potential to cause negative outcomes. You mentioned about anxiety and angst and whatnot. And I think that's a really important consideration. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was that idea of buy-in. Now, you mentioned about value proposition. It's interesting to me that we're still hearing about resistance among healthcare professionals in many different disciplines to using technology, to the extent of even, maybe resistance to an EMR.
Sure.
Some of that, it strikes me as maybe fear of the unknown, not knowing how to use it, what it does, all of that. What do you do to support those people that maybe are not buying in because of fear?
That's a really good question. And I can tell you directly from experience doing this with hundreds of organizations, that you have to have a buy-in from critical constituents. Otherwise, it will fail. And you are right. I do think technology, first of all, two things. One, when you look at today where we're at right now, nurses and the workload that they have on them continues to grow, right? It mm-hmm. becomes much more complicated. They're spending enormous amounts of time, much more so doing non-clinical things like By that, what I mean is, most nurses, when you talk to them, the reason they got into nursing is because they're hands-on. They wanted to take care of people. They want to help them get better, right? I think when you talk to a lot of them, they never envision that they're going to be stenographers or spending them hours on hours documenting stuff in an electronic medical record. Mm-hmm. And I do think that your point with the EMR is a great one, because I do think that we created a panacea, meaning all of us, particularly the EMR vendors and organizations around how great this medical record was going to be and how it was going to save us time and money and improve outcomes and all of that. And I will tell you, when I talk to nurses and I go out and talk to organizations, that just in their mind has never come true to this day. And they continue to look at technology like, oh man, I'm just more and more is going to be piled on me. Now I've got to learn another technology system. It's going to consume more of my time. It's going to take me away from actually interacting with the patient because now I have to use some piece of software to do it. And what's the real value to me at the end of the day? So I think the value prop, selling that and getting them on board with, hey, there is technology. Some things are going to take more time, but you know, we also have tools that if that's one of your biggest gripes, the amount of time that you're spending documenting things, guess what? With this patient engagement platform, we have the ability for you to prescribe education to the patient, gather, see whether or not they've taken it. You don't have to do, and basically document back in the EMR, which you might have had to do manually, that the patient's completed the education, right? Mm-hmm. So there are technologies, particularly on the patient engagement side of things, that now allow us to basically show them the value prop is we're going to take some of the burden off of this. The fact is, guess what? If we put video patient education and prescribe it to the patient bedside, now when the patient family members come in, other than them asking you to explain what's going on or what do they need to know so that a nurse has to do that two or three times, they can actually access the same video content in the patient's room or at home that better informs them, which lessens the burden of those non-clinical important or redundant things that a nurse or other person has to do. So I do think, again, demonstrating and coming up with clear case use cases that demonstrate where it's going to provide some relief for the nursing staff and make their lives better while not further burdening them with additional duties and responsibilities. You also have to make sure the technology is going to run and focused on not creating more work for them above and beyond, you know, what they're already facing. In some cases, it creates more efficiency. It can do reminders, number of things. But again, it's a balancing act between the value prop and why you should be interested in doing this, and also some other areas that are going to give the nurses some feel that, hey, I get that this is valuable. I will give you one example where patient engagement, these platforms where I hear a lot of praise on. One of the things that nurses feel, again, is that to some great extent that they're unrecognized for the amount of work that they do, right? Yep. And I see this time and time again, the really good nurse managers and good chief nursing officers, they have the ability to understand and recognize their staff, right? With this sort of technology in place, we have the ability to prompt and interrupt a TV program or pause it and actually ask the patient or the family members why they're in there, hey, how'd Nurse Betty do? Or do you want to give some feedback on your care here, right? So now we can capture that real time and actually share that within an organization. And what successful organizations are using that for is to recognize where nurses go above and beyond and are fantastic at taking care of their patients, where patients are very happy. So this allows them to provide real-time feedback other than your traditional press gainy or NRC stuff that's, you know, 60, 90 days post-discharge, right? It allows them to do real-time feedback, to recognize nursing staff as nursing managers and others, and also to do service recovery where I can go down and identify where a patient may not be happy. There might be a specific issue where we can go and react to that. Nurses like that, again, because it allows nursing managers and others to receive direct appreciation and comments and feedback. And I do see in many of our organizations that use this feature and functionality, when you go into the break room, it's not uncommon that they may have some direct comments posted up on the message board in there about what a patient has said about Nurse Jillian and recognizing her or family members for going above and beyond the call of duty. I think it brings back nurses to the reality that they're appreciated. People care for them and recognize that that they're in a better place and a better world because they've got fantastic nursing care at an organization. So there are lots of things like that where we can create high value proposition and create a level of embracement by the organization and a number of constituents.
I love the idea about providing more of a real-time feedback mechanism, because I do hear the same, particularly among nurses, that they do feel unappreciated and their workload is immense. And I can speak to that from personal experience as well. And
sure.
I'm sure you're aware of the hot topic in healthcare right now is about workforce shortages, recruitment and retention. Everything you're saying suggests to me that this is not only a tool for patient engagement, but related, it is also a tool for recruitment and retention. But I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
You're exactly right. And when we talk to organizations that are embracing this or looking at digital transformation, particularly the digital transformation of the patient's room, these are key elements, particularly today with today's nursing workforce and others, retention, hiring nurses, recruitment, all of that's critical. So it's a conversation that we engage in very often, particularly with the hospital administration, the chief nursing officers, others, other clinical staff, nurse managers, is that this is a tool set that is available to you that can help you in many regards. Recognize your staff. For sure. So you're right. I do think, even though we kind of bucket ourselves as a patient engagement platform, we're much broader in the stat. And I think you recognize that in the sense that not only are we patient and family engagement tools, but we're also staff engagement, staff recognition, right? Those mm-hmm. sort of areas within an organization, for sure, that has an immense impact potentially on operations, retention, recognition, all of those things. So that is one of the beautiful things. I do think, as I said, healthcare is very human touch driven, as we all know. And when you can start capturing the human elements, the caring, the engagement, the extra 5 minutes that a nurse spent with a family member over some bad news that they've got, and the family member can recognize them, all of that, I think grounds nurses, particularly where we're struggling to keep them engaged and making them feel appreciative, it brings them back to why I think why I know they're a nurse. And as I said, my mother was a nurse. I've grown up around nurses. I've worked with them for decades now. And the sense of gratitude cannot be underestimated. It's a really critical element. And I think taking care of a sick wife, all the difference in the world was made by the appropriate nursing staff. Don't get me wrong, the physicians and that are phenomenal as well, but there's something special about nurses. And I think sometimes along the way, I think that we kind of lose sight of that because we're focused on a lot of the other stuff that goes along with nursing, documentation, and all of that, and often forget that a nurse really has the opportunity to make the difference.
I would definitely agree with that. Now, of course, I'm biased as a nurse, but yeah, I would definitely agree with it. There is something special about a nurse. Now, the question that comes up for me with the onset of AI, how does that factor into all of this, if at all?
You know, I think that's a really good question. And from my standpoint, looking at AI, AI really concerns me, not so much the technology and what it can have to do, but I think that healthcare has had a very difficult time right now with digital technologies, innovation, and embedding it and utilizing it appropriately and successfully within an organization. I think we have just begun to crawl when it comes to things like the digital front door to patient portals, looking at patient portal utilization, and the numbers are not phenomenal, which tells you something about the end users, that it's not necessarily meeting all the needs. It may meet some of the needs for the ability to request for a prescription or schedule an appointment or pay your bill online, but that isn't the be-all, the end-all. So what I am concerned more so is, while I think there is a time and a future for AI, the question is, before you master some of the things that you have now, does this become another big distraction or diversion? And do we put so much hype in it that it becomes another letdown? And does it also do another one degree of separation from the human element of patients and their caregivers and that team at the end of the day? So while I'm very optimistic and there'll be lots of great breakthroughs, I do think that we need to be very cautious with the way we adopt it. We need to honestly also do a real self-assessment. And I do think organizations do not do this very well. Do not look in the mirror. They don't step back and they don't say, let me look at the technology we have in place. How is it working? Is it meeting what the goals were that we set out at the beginning? If it isn't, why isn't it? And two, if it isn't, is it worth keeping in place? I do think that there's a lot of innovation, a lot of technology coming at healthcare. There's a lot of cost with doing it as well. So I do think the other thing that I see is people are evaluating very closely. You see a lot more involvement from the financial people, chief financial officers and others. Like, is it really all hyped up? Is it really going to result in the return on investment? I think that's the case also with AI. So while I'm optimistic about it, I do think that we need to sit back and look at the lessons that we've learned from using technology. Where have we had shortcomings? Where have we had success? And how do we basically leverage that before we start layering in even more complex technologies? The one thing that I tell most organizations, and I have routinely organizations ask me, Dave, you've seen a lot of technology, you've been at a lot of organizations, what are some of the keys to success? And this goes back to my Army days. One of the things that we always were told in the Army was keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yeah.
The most complex plans in the world have multiple failure points and often lead to failure, right? The same applies to technology and the way that organizations adopt it. Those organizations that adopt very complex technologies that are very complex to understand, to utilize, to implement, and all of that, often don't see the success that they impose or that they expect. So I say the one thing is that technology, you need to go in with the mindset, let's keep it simple. The end user, some of the things technology-wise that work really well are some of the most simplest things. If you think about it, what's more basic than text messaging, right? We all use it. Lots of programs that involve text message reminders and other things that are something simple as text are embraced and utilized routinely. And why is that so? It's very simple. Simple to use, simple to understand, and the end results are simple to measure, right? So the same thing should apply to AI. So while I tell organizations, or at least I would share with organizations, it's fine to embrace new technology, keep it simple, stupid when you begin, and then really, really figure out how it's going to be embraced by the organization from a cultural standpoint. It needs to be part of the culture of the organization. It can't run in parallel, can't run outside. If it's not embraced and doesn't become part of the culture, it's doomed for failure because we're in a people-heavy, high-touch environment, workspace where people are critical and we're never going to eliminate them at the end of the day, even with AI.
Well said, and really good advice. And I think, you know, there's a lot there for organizations and people, individuals as well, to consider when they are thinking about digital technology. And what really struck me was this idea of setting the foundation. You got to get the foundation in place before moving forward with any sort of digital technology, and particularly taking that leap of faith with AI. If somebody is interested in learning more about you and PCARE, where can they find that information?
I think you can certainly go to pcare.com. That'll give you some information as it relates to what we do, PCARE itself. And if somebody has some questions for me, they're welcome to send me an email address, and I'll give you my email address. It's dbennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, at pcare.com. I'm more than happy to answer any questions or share any what insights I may have, particularly around the subjects that we spoke about today.
Beautiful. And before we close, any final words of wisdom or advice or anything else you want to share with our listeners?
one thing that I would share with us, particularly in the technology side, and when you embrace this, and this even applies into nursing, you know, I remind my people and say that one is we're so fortunate to work in healthcare. There are probably hundreds of people's lives which we will touch and make a difference, but yet we'll never know that we either touched them or played some small role in making their lives better or making a difference. And I think if you think about us and our dedication to healthcare, and you think about that on a daily basis, or at least take a pause and say, man, I'm in a great job. I love what I do. And I may not know for a fact, Mrs. Smith may not have called me up and told me that I've made a difference, but I am making a difference. And that's a great place to be. I kid people that one of these days when I pass away and I'm up in front of those pearly gates, I hope that there's a whole chip list that they go, yep, you made a difference with this person, this person, this person. And lastly, I will share one thing. I'm always talking about stories, and people have asked me, well, how do you really know that you ever make a difference? And years ago, when I got into the digital side of things, I was at a large academic medical institution, and I oversaw all of their web programs, including all of their healthcare tools online and all of that. And I kept telling my team over and over again that we're making a difference. I know we're making a difference. And one day, I got an email, came into the webmaster, and it was from a physician that was in Guatemala that had gone online. He had a pregnant woman that showed up in his emergency room that had taken a handful of medication, and she was having complication, and he was concerned that she was going to have a miscarriage. He was able to get online, and we had a pill identification tool online. He found the medications that she had taken and realized that they could be counteracted if he didn't know what they were, that she was going to have a miscarriage and lose this child. And he wrote us an email thanking us and said that we made a difference, that he was able to save this woman's baby, that she didn't have a miscarriage. And that was made possible because of some technology tools that we made available online. Things like that, technologists and all of us do each day in healthcare, and you'll never know that you've made a difference. But trust me, at the end of the day, you have, and it's a great business to be in and a great place to be in life.
What a powerful story and lovely words to end on. Thank you, Dave, so much for being here. I really appreciate hearing about this. It's fascinating work that you do, and I look forward to staying in touch with you and hearing more about how things go.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much for joining us today at Central Line, Leadership in Healthcare. Also, if you liked what you heard, please head on over to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Also, if you'd like to learn more about our host, Leah Woodchick, check out talltreesleadership.com.